For our scripture reading this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to the Old Testament. Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah is the first of the four of the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. We don't spend a whole lot of time in the Old Testament, but that's where we're headed here this morning. Isaiah chapter 6. I hear pages turning. So if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. That's great news. Let's stand while God's Word is being read. There's 13 verses in chapter 6. I'm going to read all 13 of them. God's Word says this: "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorpost and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried, 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.' He said, 'Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed.' Then I said, 'For how long, O Lord?' And He answered, 'Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left desolate and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps where they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land.'" Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to have this book here in our hands, where we can learn about You, learn about Your truth, and what You want to tell us. Father, this morning here at Beech Grove Christian Church, You have appointed me as Your messenger to bring the good news to Your people. Father, that's very humbling, and I have to decrease because Your name needs to increase. I must hide behind the cross and speak through the cross. The words that I say, Lord, must be exactly what You want me to say to Your people, because the truth will set people free, and that's what I want to say. Father, as You did with Isaiah, symbolically touch my lips also, Lord, that what comes out of them will be what You want the people to hear. I pray that hearts are softened here this morning to Your Word, and I ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We're in a sermon series on evangelism. Evangelism, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to an unbelieving world. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the more you're out in this world, the more you go to different places, wherever that your travels might take you, you see that there's really a necessity for people to know and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's us, folks. We are the evangelist. It's not just the pastor. It's all the Christians. All of us. Here in Isaiah chapter 6, I just want to point out a few things. Isaiah kind of he's being commissioned by the Lord Himself to go on out to be a prophet to His people, the Israelites. Isaiah is going to have some bad news to tell them, but he's going to proclaim the truth. And during this encounter that Isaiah is having with the Lord asks a very simple question. Who shall I send? Who's going to go for us? And Isaiah comes up with a great answer. Here I am, Lord. Send me. You know, I hope that's all of us in here, all the Christians raising their hands. And when God asks you, who shall I send? We raise our hands, all of us, and say, Lord, send me, wherever that is. But what I want to do here this morning with Isaiah is to run a few parallels between what we've been learning here over the last couple weeks about evangelism, and what's written on the board here is also written in your bulletin. I don't know if I'm going to write on the board here this morning or not, but it's the points are written in your sermon notes. They're already underlined and written in bold, and I want to cover them just a little bit, and then we're going to talk about a new one here this morning. So let's look to see what the parallels are between Isaiah's commission and ours. Our commission. We're all commissioned to be evangelists, to spread the good news out there in a very hurting and dark world. The first thing I'd like to point out is this, that, and you don't have to write these down if you don't want to, God's going to use us just the way that we are. Just the way that we are. Now, obviously we're a people of variety. Men, women, they're going out there to spread the news. Look at the people around you. Just look at the people in this sanctuary. Just look at us. All those beautiful people. All those beautiful people. And He's going to use each and every one of us with the talents that we have and sometimes all the faults and that we might have and those things that He's going to use all that because Isaiah even said here, I'm a man of unclean lips. How could you possibly use me? Well, sometimes I wonder, and I ask this myself, Lord, how could you possibly use Mike Owen to go on out and do your work because you know who I am and I know who I am? Well, God has to use people like us, people with flaws, people who have good points also. And He uses our talents and He uses what He has given us to go on out and spread the word. And the similarity I want to make is to the So number one, it's a command. It's a command. So we can't give the excuse and say, well, I'm not equipped to do this. I can't do it because I'm a man of unclean lips or, you know, I have this flaw and I can't do this. There was no excuse for Isaiah and there's also no excuse for us. It is a command that we are supposed to go on out and evangelize a hurting world. The second point I want to make is this, is God makes it very clear to Isaiah that He, Isaiah, is not responsible for the hearts of the people that he's going to speak to. He's not responsible for that. And the point I want to make and the analogy I want to make here is this. It's very similar to point number four. We are just to plant and water, and it's up to God to make it grow, right? And that's, we've been talking about that quite often here over the last couple weeks, is that it's not our responsibility for the person's heart. And we're going to talk to people and we're going to evangelize and we're going to share the gospel with people who have hearts of all kinds, all the way from over here, all the way to over here. But that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is just to go on out there and to plant and to water and to share the faith that we have. The third analogy I want to make is this. God's word can, and I want to use the word can, not saying that it does in all instances, but it can harden an already hardened heart. Now let me explain that. God's word can harden an already hardened heart. Last week when we came to point number five, we said that people that we evangelize, don't be surprised if they don't get saved because not everybody gets saved. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 say that only a few make it. And we try to write some ideas, some words down here as to some reasons why some people might not get saved. And what I want to focus on here is points B and C. Some of the people that we witness to just might have hard hearts. And the point C, which kind of goes along with point B, is they might be so locked into a false belief system, whatever that belief system is, that they don't want to change. that they don't want to change. But it's not up to us to figure out who's going to get saved or who's not going to get saved when we evangelize to those people. It's just up to us to plant and to water. But God's Word can take a heart that is already hard and harden it even further, because the more we try to impress Jesus Christ on an already hardened heart, the worse that heart might get. And that's not our responsibility. And the fourth and last point I want to make about the comparisons between Isaiah is this: God's Word can also save. It can also save. When we go out to evangelize, we have no idea where that person's going to go later on in life. They might walk away from your evangelistic encounter and get saved. Oh, that'd be awesome if that ever happened. That'd be great. But that might not happen all the time. That might not happen all the time. Because maybe sometimes when we're planting and watering, it might be Kay Campbell who goes up and shares the gospel message with that person, whoever it is, and it's at that instant that person gets saved. Or they might be watching a TV evangelist and get saved through that, or whatever the case may be. So don't be disappointed, my friends, if we go into an evangelistic encounter and that person doesn't get saved right there on the spot. But we do know this, and that gets back to point number 6 in our bulletin that we had from last week, that Jesus' sheep will hear His voice. They will hear His voice. Jesus says so in John chapter 10. I have the verses listed there. His sheep will hear His voice. The time may not be just right at this moment when you evangelize them. It might be for a moment later on down the road, next week, next year, maybe 20 years down the road. But His sheep will hear His voice. That's why it's important that when we speak the truth, that when we evangelize, that we speak the truth of God's Word. Which leads us to the next point. The next point. So we've covered 6 of them so far. And just a quick review, and they all start off with, we go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that, A, it is a command. B, we don't make exceptions who we witness to, because 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, God wants all men to be saved, so don't make exceptions who you witness to. We may experience persecution. Number 4, we only plant water, we don't make it grow. Number 5, not everyone will get saved. Number 6, Jesus' sheep will hear His voice. And for the next one, I'm going to go to the book of Acts and read chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, and then we'll draw our conclusion from what we read from those verses. So I'm going to go to Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read 6 through 10, and let's see what God's Word has to tell us here. Acts 16, 6, I'll start there. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went on to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I think this fill in the blank is going to be pretty obvious, and this is the only one that we're going to cover today, and we'll cover the next two next week. When we go into our efforts of evangelism, understanding that we must follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, We follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? How do we follow the direction of the Holy Spirit? How do we know when the Holy Spirit's telling us, go here or go there, or don't go here or don't go there, or don't speak to that person or speak to that person? That's a fair question, isn't it? How do we know the difference between the two? I think I only have one answer, and the answer would be from Romans chapter 12. And I'm just going to go there real quick and just read two little verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Key verse right here. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, if we're going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, if we're going to go where He tells us to go and speak to who we want us to speak to, it says here that we need to be offer our bodies as holy and living sacrifices. Okay, then we need to ask the next question. What does that mean? That means we take the white flag and we wave it like this and we say, I surrender everything that I am to you, Lord. You tell me where I need to go, what I need to do, who I need to speak to, who I don't need to speak to, and I will just offer myself totally and fully to you. Don't we sing the song in here? I surrender all. I surrender all. I think I surrender all is very much what he's saying here in Romans 12, that we give it all to the Lord, and then we let the Lord direct our path, direct our steps to take us where we need to go. Have you ever had one of those situations where you knew God was saying, you need to speak to that person? Do you ever have one of those overwhelming times when either, again, you're at the line in Walmart or at Food Lion or at work or something, and something is said or something is done, and you just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit just saying, you need to say something. You need to get in there, and you need to be my representative. Will somebody please say, yes, Mike, I've heard that before. Help me out here. Okay, there's some hands waving. Yes, we have heard that. Where does that come from? That's the Spirit of the living God telling us you need to move in, because just like he told Paul in the book of Acts, don't go there. And he said, but do go to Macedonia tomorrow. Sometimes we need to go to Macedonia, folks. We need to go to Macedonia. When that calling comes and it says, and the Spirit says, you need to speak, you need to say this, you need to do this. My friends, we need to walk in and we need to take that opportunity, because it's a divine orchestrated plan. And we are His representatives here on the face of this earth. Likewise, on the other hand, there are times that we need to go and times that we need to speak, but sometimes there are times to stay and sometimes to be quiet. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking this. Oh, that's me. He's told me to just be quiet, just stay where I'm at and not do anything. I'll just keep my, just keep this just closed right here and I just won't say a word. I feel that Spirit talking to me, telling me not to go to Macedonia and don't go in there. Well, sorry, folks, that doesn't work. He will tell us that we need to go a certain place and do something. It gets back to the question, do we want to see the unsaved world saved? And we need to answer that question. Do we want to see people die and go to hell? Somebody answer that question for me. No, we don't. We don't. We don't want to see people die and go to hell. So how can they have what we have if at some point in time we don't share what we have with the people who have not? And you might say, well, they've been told and they've been told and they've been told over and over and over again. Well, if you're being told to tell them one more time, you need to tell them one more time. Because it just might be that one more time that you tell them is going to be the time that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them and that person is going to get saved. For us to go on out there and do what we're told to do, it's a matter of obedience. We evangelize because that's what we're told to do. We obey what the Spirit of God is telling us. So at this point, and that's the only bullet that I'm going to cover in our bulletin here this morning, I just want to talk real briefly and say this, and then we're going to do something here in a second. Do we believe the words of this book? We believe the words of this book. We believe that this book is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. people wrote this book, and we read it. They wrote it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I need to make sure I say that. But we believe it is the absolute truth of God's Word. Amen? We do. If it's not, then let's do something else on Sunday mornings. But here's four things I like to tell you. One of these days, my brain and my fingers will coordinate together. Okay, here's four things I like to say. I firmly believe that the Bible teaches us about divine election. That God, before the creation of anything, predetermined those who were going to be in Christ. I believe that because that's what Ephesians chapter 1 says and many other verses. I also believe that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I believe that because that's what the Bible says. I believe in the concept of sowing and reaping and everything that we've been talking about these last several weeks. I believe that the more we sow God's Word, the more that we're going to reap. It's a spiritual principle. It's what the Bible teaches. So I teach that we should go on out and evangelize because that's what the Bible tells us we need to do. And the fourth thing, I also believe in the power of prayer. I also believe that we need to pray and make intercession for unbelievers, that we need to pray for their salvation. Quite often, we didn't do it this morning, we pray for Jeff and Della, Greg's brother and his wife. We pray for my brother and his wife, and I'm sure many of you sitting in here have loved ones that you pray for also. The part of the Bible that maybe I don't fully grasp is how God puts all that together. And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. How does He put His divine election along with my prayers, my evangelism, my sowing and my reaping, and the fact that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved? And my answer, biblical answer to that would be this. I don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God, and I don't have to understand them. But it's a matter of obedience. This is why I do what I do and why we should all do what we do. With that said, you will notice that there's a place in your bulletin that is blank. Well, it might not be blank. Maybe you've already written something in this little dotted line area here in the bulletin. And I'll tell you what we're going to do with that dotted line area here in a second. We're going to write something in there. Here's what we're going to do. In evangelism, we talked about when we used the parable of the talents, from one talent to five talents. And God just expects those with one talent to use that one talent. Some have two, some have three, some have four, some have five, if that's the analogy that we're going to use. Whatever He has given us, He expects us to use that. Some of us, we go out into the world and we use our voice. Some of us, we take our tithes and our offerings and we set them in this plate and we use this to buy Bibles, and Bibles are sent all around the world so people can read the good news of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't take any effort, so to speak, for us speaking, but giving generously to what the Lord has already provided for us. Some of us, our talents are praying, that we pray for people. And if that's the talent, then I strongly suggest that you use that talent. But here's what we're going to do today. Not every one of us is empowered to go on out, so to speak, as I have been, to be a pastor and to preach like I do. I understand that. Not everybody's been financially blessed to put money in the collection basket, and I understand that too. But I do understand this. I think we all have friends and family that need saved. Amen? I think everybody in here can think of one person that needs saved. Amen? Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to take our pencils or pens, whatever we have, and we're going to write their names in here. Who needs saved? Who do you know that needs saved? And perhaps that's you. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I don't know if I'm saved. I got great news for you this morning. A, you can put your name down here if you like. And B, you can walk out of here saved here this morning. It's very simple. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Call on the name of the Lord. Say, I don't want to be the master of my life anymore. I want you to be the master of my life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I know in my heart that the Father raised Him from the dead. And Paul says this, you will be saved. And that's what he said. That's what he said. And that's what the Bible teaches. So that's what I teach, and that's what I believe. Salvation isn't difficult, my friends. It isn't. Just quit being the boss of your own life and let God take over. That's a very simple way of putting it. But there are many people in our lives that don't want to relinquish control of their lives to Jesus Christ or to some higher being because they want to continue to be in control of everything. Those people need saved. And those people are going to get their names on my list. And I'm going to just take a few moments here to write a whole bunch of names down of people that I know. And so while I'm doing this, I hope you take the time to do this too. We're going to write those names down. And then I'm going to ask the ushers to go around and collect them. Let's see, there's probably about 50 of us in here this morning. Let's average 10 names per sheet. Here's 500 people need saved, folks. There's 500 people right here. And you know what? It's none of anybody's business who they are, except God's. And He knows whose names are on here. And maybe some of us know the same people, and somebody's name is written on here more than once. And that's okay. Or maybe you took one person's name and wrote it 10 times on your sheet because you feel like, God, this person really needs a good dose of you. But we're all evangelists. And maybe we don't go on out and share verbally. Maybe that's not quite how God has given us a talent. Maybe He has given us a talent financially and we give money. And I can attest to this. This church buys Bibles and for the Gideons and for people. And we send Bibles all over the world. And we should be glad that we're part of a very giving church. People can read God's Word and get saved through that. But maybe we can pray. Maybe we can pray. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for these names right now. I'm just going to kind of symbolically just hold them here. And I say, let's go to God. And we have planted, and we have watered, and we're going to ask God to save them. Father, we come before Your throne, and Father, on all of our hearts, our names of family, friends, co-workers, maybe spouses, children, parents, the list goes on, Lord. You know every name that's written on here, and You know the heart of each one of these names. Father, our prayer this morning comes from our heart. And our heart says this, that we really would love to see a salvation experience in the lives of each and every one of these people. And we know that it might not be today, and it might not even be this week. But Father, we do ask that it will be before that person takes their last dying breath. Even if it's a deathbed conversion. Father, we want to see these people have what we have. We want to see these people spend eternity with us in heaven and having the assurance of knowing that that's where their eternal destiny will be. Father, we just want to be obedient through prayer, through giving, through sharing what we have. We have done our part, Lord. And we just ask in a very humbly way that we ask that You save these people and do Your part, something we are not responsible for. Each and every one of these people, Father, need a dose of You. And maybe part of that dose is putting us in their lives in some way. And if that's the case, do that, Lord. Do that. Have us speak to these people. Your word says that You don't want to see anybody perish, and for all men to come to repentance. Well, Father, here's about 500 of them. And we're going to start right here with these. And we just ask that You do a work in their lives the same that You did in ours. That You have brought us out of the muck and the mire and sat us on a rock of Jesus Christ. And we just ask that You bring them out of that muck and the mire also. You will get the praise and glory because You are glorified through the salvation of Your saints. So we will keep these here, Lord, and we look forward to the good news of these people giving us the feedback that, you know, God just did something in my life. That's what we want You to do. Just do something in their lives, Lord. Do to them what You did for us. Save us and save them. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am going to put these up here. I know I don't go up here very often. I'm going to go up here and just set these right here, along with our crown of thorns and our rock from Commitment Sunday. We want to see them saved, don't we? Do you enjoy the salvation that you have? Then don't keep it to yourself. Give it away. Freely we have been given, and freely we must give. That'd be a good song to sing. But we didn't choose that one, did we? We didn't. Evangelism. We're going to pick up here, and we're going to finally get to those last two bullets next Sunday. So I hope you all can be with us.